Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: exalted self-realized persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerities see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty, or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Purport: Lord Shiva is topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vignena bhunjai. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In all the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atma Rama. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Tvishai Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading this very wonderful chapter of the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. This whole chapter is dedicated to the glories of Lord Shiva. And what is going to happen in the next few verses is one of the most wonderful act of a great Vaishnava like Lord Shiva. Paradukhe Dukhi. That quality of a Vaishnava will be very, very much wonderfully glorified by this particular pastime of how Lord Shiva, there was an extremely difficult situation in the universe where they were trying to do something good for themselves, but suddenly this halahal wish, which was extremely dangerous, practically it could be wiping out the whole creation by its poison. And the demons and demigods, from this beautiful story, it is seen that how helpless they are all the time. All the time they are in difficulty, they have to run to Lord Vishnu. And we will see so many amazing, wonderful incarnations of Lord Vishnu coming to help them. In Kurma, we have just read Ajita, Kurma came. Just every step they required the help of Lord Vishnu. It shows that how anything that we want to do, we are extremely helpless. We might think that we are very, very powerful people. We have some power, and we could control many things. You know, we could be controlling in our own way a group of people. If we are small-time leaders, or we are big-time leaders, we could be controlling large groups of people. But what will happen if there was no air to breathe? If there is no air, I mean, you could be a big leader, but you will be gasping for air, and you will die in a matter of seconds. So it's a proof that you could be big leaders, or big powerful personalities, but you know, you are constantly dependent upon the Lord's mercy. And without this basic thing of breathing your air, of eating your food, Prabhupada said, you can't be eating nuts and bolts. You will need food to eat, and food comes by the mercy of the Lord. So here in this beautiful story, we will see the demigods, or we have seen, and we will see further also that how they are constantly dependent upon, they are powerful people doing powerful things like churning the milk ocean. I mean, it's not easy to churn. I mean, just pure, simple churning in our kitchen is tiring. I'm sure many of you have done churning. And just simple churning for 15 minutes, your hand starts paining. I remember many years back, it was the first large Govardhan Puja festival at our temple, at Radha Gopinath. And we had this fancy, let's offer Krishna pure butter, the way it was made by the gopis. So we bought huge quantities of milk, made it into dahi, and then we were trying to do the actual way they would churn, and it was very exciting. We actually got the big pot, and we got the original churning rod, tied a rope to it, not through some machine, but physically. It was very exciting. So I started with great enthusiasm, you know, churning for 5-10 minutes, and after 15 minutes, you know, I was in bad shape, and there was a huge quantities of other things lying, and I said, I have to do it now. And I was churning, and after huge effort, nothing was coming. I mean, I churned for 1 hour. It was paining, but nothing came. I mean, I said, what's wrong? You know. So churning is not an easy process. It takes a long time, and then, you know, the essence starts coming in the form of butter, and then you start collecting. And we took huge, almost 50 liters of milk, and what we got is this much amount of butter. You know, just this much. You know, so it is not easy. So churning is a very laborious process. And here they are not churning some small quantities of thing in a pot. They're churning practically the whole, you know, ocean. And they're using the Mandara mountain as a churning rod. It's not some ordinary churning that is happening. It is huge. Everything about this thing is huge. I mean, and then we had this Kurma Avatar coming. And what was the size of Kurma Avatar? Does anybody remember? It was, I remember many years back we calculated it was some phenomenal size, and it was a few light years big. You know, if you calculate the actual, one of our IIT devotee scientists, he did some calculation. He told me that is this big, and that's how Kurma came, and he was used just to balance that Mandara mountain. So everything here is huge. So these people who are doing this churning, they are powerful, demigods and demons. But, you know, when anything happens, they have to run to Lord Vishnu. So from this, we should understand that we don't need to learn through experience. We should always remember that we are helpless, small, living entities. We should always take shelter of Lord Vishnu. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, the reason why we read all the scriptures is that we are all trying to develop. When we read all these stories, we are all trying to develop what is a Vaishnava mentality. Krishna consciousness is all about changing. We have to change the way we eat. I mean, right from beginning, when we become devotees, there is a huge amount of change that happens in our life. Every walk of life, there is a change. The way we eat and what we eat, this changes. Right? The way we sleep changes. The way we dress, it changes. The way we talk, it changes. So like that, everything changes, and it is very easy, or rather, I would say not so difficult, to change externals. And I know it is glorious when I travel to to this Western countries, to all of all these places, it is amazing to see how devotees who are coming from the Western background, they change their whole complete lifestyle. You know, dhotis and kurtas has never been their clothes. They start wearing dhotis and kurtas. They start eating roti, sabji, chawal and rice, which is never their, you know, their way of that they are eating. The way they talk, everything changes. And it might not be so difficult to do that. But what is difficult and what usually takes a long time to change is the way we think. We could change the externals, but it might be that much more difficult to see how we can change the way of thinking. And that is why it is mentioned in these beautiful words. Achare Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. It is said that one who sees the worshipable deity to be just made of wood or stone, one who sees the Charnamrit as simple ordinary water, one who sees Guru to be an ordinary man with material vision, and one who sees the Vaishnava belonging to a particular country, caste or creed, such a person is having a hellish mentality. Why is this verse mentioned? Because we need to understand that we cannot go by the externals. As explained, that when you see the worshipable deity simply made of wood or stone, it is made of wood or stone. No doubt. I mean, we have, you know, deities of Lord Jagannath made of wood. We have our worshipable deities which are made of stone by marble. But just seeing the externals and not really knowing that this is not just this murti, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Pratima nahi tumi shakshat Brajendra Nandana. You are not the Pratima. It's not just a stone or an idol. You are Shakshat Brajendra Nandana. When he saw the deity of Shakshi Gopal, he said, you are not just just a murti. You are not just a stone. So he said that one who thinks that the worshipable deity is made of just wood or stone. And he said, when you see the Charnamrit just made of water, it's just ordinary water. It is hellish mentality. And he further on says, you just see your guru as an ordinary person. Even though he appears to be ordinary, he appears to get sick, he appears to have similar ordinary things happening to him, but if you simply see the guru as ordinary because of externals, it is hellish mentality. And then he goes on to say that if you see a Vaishnava belonging to a particular country, caste or creed, it is hellish mentality. Now, it's interesting that this verse is mentioned, and at this, when this verse maybe are written, maybe the Vaishnavas were only from Bharatvarsha. But knowing that the Vaishnavas are not going to be restricted to just a location, but they are going to be spreading all over the world, and to see a Vaishnava belonging to a country, that he is an American devotee, he is an English devotee, he is an Indian devotee, he is a Bengali devotee, and making conclusions from that, it is Narakiya Buddhi or hellish mentality. And that is what we learn from this very, very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about glorification of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the own tattva by himself. He is neither Vishnu tattva, he is neither a Jiva tattva, but he is his own Shiva tattva. And the way he behaves, the way he does activities, externally very, very difficult and many times bewildering to the people in general. But as we read further, you will see that you cannot judge the book by its cover. There's a beautiful phrase. You cannot judge the book by its cover. Many years back, I went to a library. And obviously when you're in a library, you usually judge the book by its cover. If something is very attractive, you pick up that book and say, what's this book? Many times. So I saw this very attractive book, this big book, extremely fancy cover, and I said, this seems to be very interesting. So I took that book and I started opening, and I saw the first page to be blank. I said, maybe it is blank. The second page I opened, it is blank. The third page I opened, I blank, and I kept on opening the pages. All the pages were blank. I said, this is strange. What sort of book is this? It is in the library, and it's all. And then last page, and then you realize you are God. That was written in the last.
the last page, the last line, and then you realize you are God. I said, my God, this is strange. So I went to the person. I said, is there some printing error? Is it that, it has been wrongly put here because there's nothing printed here? Because I want to know how I am God. I want to read. I said, no, this is the book. It's written by one of the famous authors. I won't be right to name him sitting on the seat. But he said, then you realize you are God. How? Just by knowing that you are nothing. So that book was just showing nothingness. Just pages or pages, it was 150 page book. And all the 149 pages were blank. And you know what is the cost of the book? It was costing 2,500 rupees. It's big money there in almost, what is it? It's how many dollars? I mean, $50. It's $50 book. And what it's telling you, there's only one page printed, but the front was so attractive. Just fancy designs. Very attractive. But it's teaching you the most horrible thing that you need to know. You don't need to know. That you are God. So then I got this powerful lesson of my life. Then never judge the book by its cover. It looks attractive, but it is junk. It is to be thrown into a dustbin. Similarly, we have the very beautiful story. Recently, we celebrated the amazing, wonderful appearance of Gadadhar Pandit, the associate of Lord Chaitanya. Radharani herself came in the incarnation of Gadadhar Pandit. Brajendra Nandana yehi sachisuta hoilo sei, Balarama hoilo nitai. Like this is a drama troupe. Krishna acts as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balaram acts as Nityananda, and then Srimad Radharani comes as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit were very close to Mukunda Dutt. And they both had this, they're staying in Navadvip. And they were extremely keen to meet any Vaishnava who comes to Navadvip. So Mukunda Dutt went once to Gadadhar Pandit and said, a great Vaishnava has come to Navadvip, let us both go and meet. This is the enthusiasm of a Vaishnava, to meet great Vaishnavas. Not that, I know, I don't have time today. No, but he's a great Vaishnava, let us go. And they ran to meet this Vaishnava. And Gadadhar Pandit was so meek and humble. His personality was very, very simple, reserved personality that Gadadhar Pandit had. So he went, and he entered this place where this devotee was staying. His name was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And then when he saw, Gadadhar Pandit was quite bewildered. Because this devotee was having very, very opulent dress. He was wearing extremely opulent dress. And he's explained in Chaitanya Chitamrita, I was just reading it the other day, that he had this red lips, which was made red by the chewing of betel nuts. If you chew betel, I don't know whether you chew in India, you have this red thing which everything, and sometimes it drips from here, and it's all become red. So this devotee was chewing betel nuts, and every now and then he would spit in one of the pans. This person, and then he had beautiful combed hair with scented perfumes, and he would every time he'd get a mirror and he would see himself how he was looking in the mirror. And then these people were, there were dasis were fanning him, and he was sitting in a royal bedstead with soft cushions. So Gadadhar Pandit was extremely bewildered. He said, and he could, from his face, Mukunda Dutt could see that he was very bewildered, and then he asked Mukunda Dutt, why have you got me here? Is it the wrong address that we came? Are we supposed to meet him? Is he the Vaishnav? Something wrong. The GPS told the wrong destination. Say, no, it is a very soon, don't worry. And then Mukunda Dutt started reciting various verses from the Bhagavatam, especially the words about glories of Krishna, Aho Bakiyam Stanakal Kutam. That how glorious is Krishna that he has delivered this Baki, the sister of Bakasura in the form of Putana. That how glorious she came to devour Krishna, but Krishna is so merciful that he gave her the position of the nurse in the spiritual world. When he was reciting these verses, this Pundarik Vidyanidhi started jumping in ecstasy. Started running, started pulling his hair out, started tearing his clothes, started breaking. He was in ecstasy. He was showing all the Ashtavikar bhav in his body. all the 8 types of ecstasies, as we read last Sunday, we were talking about the ecstatic symptoms. Sometimes devotees run, sometimes devotees jumps, they shout, they yell. These are all ecstatic symptoms, which are almost looking like a madman. But they are not madmen, they are symptoms of ecstasy. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so ecstatic to hear the glories of Krishna that he was showing all these ecstatic symptoms. And then Gadadhar Pandit said, "Oh God, what an offense I made. He is a great Vaishnav. Such an elevated personality he is." He was feeling so bad. How could I think bad about him? How could I judge the book by its cover? It was offensive. So in his mind, he started thinking that if I have to get rid of this offense, what should I do? They said, "I must accept him as my spiritual master. I must take formal diksha from this great soul. Only then I can be rid of this offense and serve him this whole life and lifetimes as my eternal spiritual master." Then he approached Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And who was Pundarik Vidyanidhi? He was none other than Vrishabhanu in Krishna Leela, who was the father of Srimati Radharani, who came as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Naturally, he was the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, it takes lifetimes of effort to get a disciple like you, Gadadhar Pandit. I'm most happy to serve you as a spiritual master. Becoming a spiritual master is also service. But from this beautiful story which happened to Gadadhar Pandit, he who is Srimati Radharani, she is teaching by her example that she also externally got bewildered by the external activity of Vaishnav like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So the externals are simply skin deep. When you just scratch, you see the real ocean of ecstasy in these great Vaishnavas. And similarly, those who are trying to be Vaishnavas, their activity is also skin deep. When you go deep, you realize how shallow they are. So both the things are skin deep. When you remove that small layer, you see the deep the deep oceanic love of God in the hearts of these great Vaishnavas. But externally, they might be acting in different ways. So you must understand that it is actually very dangerous to judge a Vaishnava. Jesus Christ said, "Judge not, for thou shalt not be judged." Because what is judging? What is it to see a Vaishnava from externals? You are seeing the Vaishnava through your senses. You are hearing through your ears. You are seeing him through your eyes. But what are the senses? The first lesson in our spiritual classes when we came, the senses are imperfect. The first thing that we learned, we tend to forget it. When we spend significant years in Krishna consciousness, we tend to forget that irrespective of whether we are 5 years old devotee, 10 years, 20 years, or 1 day old devotee, the senses still remain imperfect. It is not that after spending a lot of time in Krishna consciousness, the senses start becoming perfect. No, the senses are imperfect because you still remain a jiva soul. And you are still imperfect. So you cannot judge a person, because when you are judging, you are usually doing it, not all the time, but you are usually doing it through your senses, and the senses are imperfect. That is why Jesus Christ said, "Judge not, for thou shalt not be judged." And many times I have experienced, that we try to judge the Vaishnava, as is explained, to judge a Vaishnava from a particular country, caste or creed is narakiya buddhi. It is hellish mentality. So we start judging a Vaishnava from the way he appears, his externals. And somebody who is dressed like a gentleman, like our wonderful Vaishnav, Sundar Madhaprabhu, elegant Vaishnav, perfect tilak, so wonderful. He looks like a person descended from Vaikuntha. That is why Prabhupada said, devotees, when they are shaven-headed, bright tilak, they look, they are descending from Vaikuntha. But just seeing that Vaishnava, because he puts a particular way of tilak, or the way he dresses, to be calling him a great Vaishnava, and somebody who is not so conscious about the way he looks or something, he is a useless Vaishnava. There is a beautiful story that we heard from His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. He says that there was this person many during Prabhupada's time. His name was Peter, and he was very crazy. Maybe you know his name. I mean, know the story. And he was so crazy that in the temple of Boston, he would be sitting with all his books right in the hallway. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Shri Shri Gaurinitai ki. See, he would be sitting on the in the doorway with all his books spread out, and it was a scene. When people would enter in the temple, he would be sitting. Can you imagine somebody sitting at the doorway here with all his books spread out, you know, shabbily dressed? But that's the way he was. And people would wonder what sort of person this person is. Externally speaking, he looked quite crazy. That's why they called him Crazy Peter. He's crazy. So then, you know, the temple president, Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, he wrote to Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, this person is creating too much nuisance. Should we just ask him to not come? What? Prabhupada said, why don't you tolerate? That was reply, Prabhupada said, why don't you tolerate? Just wait. And then Prabhupada decided that every devotee, one devotee from each temple should be shifted to India to support the Indian projects. So Giriraj Maharaj was shifted from Boston to go to India. And it was many years that he was in India, Bombay, serving Prabhupada in there. And then after many years, he met some devotee from Boston. And they were talking. And Giriraj Maharaj remembered. He said, what happened to the crazy Peter? You know, he just remembered him. He said, because he didn't know what happened after that. Then the devotee replied, you don't know? Giriraj Maharaj said, what? What happened to him? Did he become more crazy? What happened? I said, no, he is Kushakrita Prabhu. The person who translated and is still translating all our Vaishnava Goswami scriptures from Bengali or from Sanskrit to English. He's a great translator, a Sanskrit scholar. So, and then, you know, Giriraj Maharaj personally, we heard him saying that you cannot judge the Vaishnava from the externals. Prabhupada knew the internal substance of this person. He said, you tolerate. He knew that something wonderful is going to happen. Of course, this story also shows the wonderful Midas touch of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, whomsoever he touched, he could be anything. But, you know, he became a wonderful Vaishnava. So this story that you cannot judge a Vaishnava from externals. That's one thing. Many times we judge a Vaishnava, as explained, from his birth. Many times if we have a general understanding that somebody from this place, they are basically lazy. I mean, that's a rough understanding. We have understanding that somebody from this place, they're lazy people. So we say, oh, because he's from that place, this Vaishnava is lazy. It is offensive, Prabhus, to just make a statement like that he's a lazy Vaishnava just because he's from a particular place. But sometimes we get conditioned to thinking of a Vaishnava because of his externals, because of the place that he's born. It is hellish. Sometimes to consider a Vaishnava based on his social status. I'm just talking about practical way, the way we deal in our ISKCON society. Many a times, you know, we see a Vaishnava and we try to judge him from his social status. Socially he is affluent. So naturally that Vaishnava tends to get more respect because he's a Vaishnava. But because he's coming from affluence, he's getting down from a particular type of car and he's having a particular type of house, we tend to respect him differently than a particular Vaishnava who might not be having that sort of a social status. From that perspective, Kolavacha Sridhar was a useless Vaishnava because he had practically no social status. But in the eyes of Krishna, he had the greatest status in his life. Sukalambar Brahmachari, Kolavacha Sridhar, all this apparently very, very ordinary Vaishnavas externally, but in Krishna's eyes. So we have to learn to see not from what the way we see, but the way Krishna sees a Vaishnava. And for Krishna, any offense to a Vaishnava is a bigger offense than himself. We have this beautiful stories on what is the danger of Vaishnava Prad. Once I heard one of the leaders of ISKCON saying, quoting one of the Prabhupada's godbrothers, Prabhupada was telling Prabhupada that one thing I've observed, that the devotees of your organization, they are not scared enough of Vaishnav Aparad. And this is something that we should be very, very careful about. That many times that, you know, we don't realize the danger of Vaishnava Aparad. What is this Vaishnava Aparad? Huh? We read about it in the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. The mad elephant offense. Is it right? First, isn't it? The mad elephant offense. What is this mad elephant offense? That it takes huge effort to make a garden. How difficult it is to make, you know, to maintain these gardens. I mean, it must be taking huge amount of money to maintain any garden. Years of effort. But it is so easy to destroy this garden. Just have a crazy mad elephant enter the garden, and in a matter of seconds, everything will be completely destroyed. Similarly, it takes a huge effort to really cultivate Krishna consciousness in our heart. That much more than it takes to cultivate a garden. Lifetimes practically, it's not even life. Lifetimes to cultivate some bhakti in our heart. To cultivate this bhakti lata beach and make it into a beautiful garden. And by just doing Vaishnava Aparad, by having this mad elephant. And what is a mad elephant? To offend a Vaishnav. And many a times, we feel that because I'm a close to a Vaishnav, either we are close as friends or between husband and wife, because me and my wife are close, or the wife thinks the husband is very close. Because of closeness, we tend to forget the gravity of Vaishnava Aparad. But be sure, it's not that because you are just close to each other that you can start offending and Krishna is going to forgive you. You will get serious sinful reactions because you are offending a Vaishnava, irrespective of how close or far you are from that Vaishnava. So this Vaishnava Aparad, because this devotees, this verse says that just because Shiva moves around with ghosts and hobgoblins and pisachas, he's staying in crematorium, people don't respect, say he's crazy, he's call him Bhutanath. He's the leader of all Bhutas. But that's external. Or he's seeing her going around with Uma. It is explained, if they see Lord Shiva as a lusty person, it is Narakiya Buddhi. And that is why this beautiful episode is going to be just happening very soon, where Shiva is externally looking little strange. The way he dresses is little strange. His activities are little strange. But you see the deep compassion. And that is why this whole story appears in the Bhagavatam to glorify Lord Shiva. That when these Prajapatis are praying, and then Shiva is so pained to see the living entity suffering because of his halal wish. He tells, as you see the verses, he tells his wife that I think I must do something because the Vaishnava is paraduke dukhi. And to what a sacrifice Lord Shiva is doing. To take this whole powerful halal wish, concentrate it, and to drink it and keep it right on his neck for rest of eternity. What an act of Vaishnava seva is that. Namaruchi, Jivadoya, and Vaishnava Seva. And Lord Shiva exemplifies this mood of Vaishnava Seva. So that's why Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vignana Bhunjaya. We should never try to analyze the activity of a Vaishnava. But once I was talking to a Vaishnava and he said, Prabhuji, don't try to understand my activity. You know, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vignana Bhunjaya. So it is not that you try to use this statement for yourself and you start behaving crazily. And when somebody approaches you, Prabhu, don't try to judge me, you know, I'm a Vaishnava and don't, you know, my Kriyan Mudra cannot be understood. So how do we understand this thing? When it comes to others, we have no right to judge. But when we are talking about ourselves, we have no right to behave in such a way that you would cause disturbance to anybody's mind. We should be behaving in a proper Vaishnava way. That is why we have Vaishnava etiquettes. We should not be the cause of disturbance to any Vaishnava. That is the important thing. It's not that from this story we take a conclusion, because it said that if you can drink poison, then you can behave like Lord Shiva. If you lift a golden mountain, then you can play like Lord Krishna, the Rasa Leela. So if you can't do things like Lord Shiva, then you have no right to behave crazy like Lord Shiva. You have to be like a proper Vaishnava. So this is what We learn from this beautiful verse on how important it is not to judge a Vaishnava. Because we understand that judging is usually through the senses. And the senses are imperfect. And usually it causes serious Vaishnava prad. We can practically destroy the faith of our heart. And it is seen so many times. And we lose our taste in chanting. We lose our taste of association of devotees. Sometimes we wonder why. And we should know that these are the outcome of some serious Vaishnava prad that we might be doing. May not be externally, but even mentally it is dangerous. Because mentally, if you are there, in Kali Yuga it is forgiven. But usually mentally leads to verbal or physical offense. So we should be extremely careful to always understand the high level of position that Krishna gives to his Vaishnava. To the extent Krishna says that a devotee is not my devotee, but a devotee who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. That is how important Krishna gives to a Vaishnava. Tomare ridaye sada govinda vishram. It is said, our Darodanda Sagar writes this beautiful bhajan, that in the heart of a devotee, Govinda is residing. But what is that other verse? That if you commit an offense to Krishna, you can be forgiven. But you commit an offense to a Vaishnava, he cannot be forgiven. We have so many stories in the form of Durvasa Muni, in the form of Gopal Chappal, who offended Srivast Thakur. And in matter of, it was so quick, it was externally seen, the effect of his Vaishnava prad, that his nose melted, his beautiful fingers started melting. Ramchandra Khan, it is said that when you offend a Vaishnava, it is not that you suffer, but even people surrounding you will also suffer. Ramchandra Khan, not only he suffered, his family suffered, his own village suffered. So that's the gravity of Vaishnava aprad. So best is not to judge, because judging is nothing but it is rooted in pride. That is why we always should wear this verse around our neck and behave in a way as has been guided by this verse. Srinadapi suni chena taro reva sahishna amanina mana dena kirtanya sadahari, that to always understand ourselves to be more fallen than a blade of grass. And when you think yourself to be fallen, then you will never have time to judge others. You are just so busy judging yourself and improving yourself. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Any corrections?